Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of an amazing series of studies, Salvation by Faith Alone. Today, Adam and Jesus, we inherited all kinds of challenges through Adam, but we inherit all kinds of blessings through Jesus. And we're glad you're with us. We're studying Paul's letter to the church in Rome, but also to each one of us. And I hope you've enjoyed the series. Has it been a blessing to you? You know, you say, well, I've read that before, but somehow the Spirit of God honors our study of the teaching of Jesus, right? Yeah. And we're praying for that today for you, that you would catch new insights that would change your life and be a blessing also as you share with other people. And talking of changed lives, we're always happy to hear from you. sshope@hopetv.org is our email address. And I had to learn how to say this name, Dieu les fêtes. That sounds very French, from Haiti. Dieu les fêtes writes and says, hello, not just to you, but hello to Hope Sabbath School members all around the world. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, 150 countries I know of. You say, how do you know that? Well, here's one statistic I know, and that is that the Android app, some of you have that on your phone or a tablet, we know that's used in 150 countries. Amen?
Wow.
Now, I just have an Apple app. It's only used in 137 countries, but that's still a lot of people. Julie Fett writes and says, I receive your program in Haiti, West Indies. May the mighty God bless each one of you. I really appreciate the Hope Sabbath School class. It helps me with my English and when I teach at my church on Sabbath morning before the big church service begins. With the outline I always download and the video of Hope Sabbath School. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Now this French-speaking person is watching an English class, downloading an English outline, and teaching an English class at a French-speaking church. Because the gospel's got to go to the whole world. Thank you, Julie Fett, for writing to us. Michael writes from Zambia. Doesn't it seem like we get a lot of emails from Zambia?
Yes.
You know, I was blessed to meet the ambassador of Zambia to the U.S. And I said to him, Mr. Ambassador, he came to our studio here. I said, we have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members in your beautiful country. He said, I watch Hope Sabbath School. Praise God.
Amen.
Michael writes, he says, I'm so happy with the idea of helping us to improve our walk with Jesus. He said, I work inside the Kalumbila mine, and we have challenges. I looked that up on Google, by the way. They have these huge mines there in Zambia. We have challenges going to church. I thank the Holy Spirit for instructing me through Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
That brought a tear to my eye. I mean, praise God. There is no mine too deep that God can't reach people. Amen?
Amen?
He says, keep helping people like us all around the world. Thanks for writing to us, Michael. God bless you there in Zambia. Daniel writes from Kenya. He said, I'd like to take the opportunity to appreciate how you analyze the Bible with committed hearts. That's an interesting thought, isn't it, Daisy? It's not just with your intellectual brain, but with what? With a committed heart. By this, it has enhanced my teaching as a Sabbath school teacher.
Amen.
I'd like you to remember one of our church members named Alphonse in special prayers. He has been suffering from demonic harassment for a long time. Can we pray for Daniel today?
Amen.
Let's pray for him. Short note from Dorothy in Georgia. Anyone from Georgia? Georgia, that's right, Dustin. Haiti, you've lived in Georgia, all right? I'm living in Georgia, writes Dorothy. I thank God for the Hope Sabbath School team. I can hardly wait for Friday evening to join you all in the study of God's Word. Well, I've got good news for you, Dorothy. You can watch it anytime. We've got on demand. Just go to our website, or you can go, if you've got a Roku box, you can go to our Hope channel and watch Hope Sabbath School anytime, day or night. In fact, I got an email from someone who went to our website. Do you remember this, some from China? Mm-hmm. She watched 100 hours of interactive Bible studies off of our website and invited her mother to join her in the study of the Word of God. Amazing. Edgar writes from Mexico. Anyone from Mexico? Anybody been to Mexico? All right, some have been there. All right, my name's Edgar. He writes, I am a former Seventh-day Adventist. I had some problems. There were terrible moments in my life. I believe God had abandoned me. I lost my family, my faith, and my Christian identity. But now I'm watching Hope Sabbath School.
Amen. Amen.
I would like to return to Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And ask you to pray for me.
Yes.
Amen. Wow. We've got Edgar, who's asked for prayer.
Alphonse.
And Alphonse, we wanted to pray for Alphonse. What was Alphonse's special?
Demonic
harassment, right? Wow. So we're going to pause to pray. And I just want to thank you for joining us in prayer for these precious people. We've got Edgar, wants to return to Christ. Alphonse, attacked by the enemy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do pray especially these requests have come. A friend saying, pray for my friend Alphonse, who's under attack from demonic forces. Jesus, I know that you came to set the captive free.
Yes.
And I claim that freedom for Alphonse today in the power of your name. And I pray that his friend would bring the truth of Jesus to him, because Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed.
Amen.
And Lord, we also want to pray for Edgar, who lost his way, but he says, I want to return to Jesus. And he's asking for prayer today. God, I thank you that we have the privilege as Hope Sabbath School members, not only our team here, but joining together around the world to say, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Edgar, that you would open the path for him to come freely back to you and to know your love and your grace more deeply than ever before. Thank you for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that was an early prayer, but I think it was appropriate, don't you?
Amen.
I just want to say thank you to you for your involvement with Hope Sabbath School. You know, many people don't realize, but we're a faith-based ministry. We're all volunteers here. And I was a volunteer until they asked me to become the president of Hope Channel. And then I had a huge surprise. And that is that all of our bills aren't automatically paid. But they're supported by people like you. And I just want to say thank you. Many of you are sustaining partners for this ministry. And if you say, God, I'd like to be a part of the miracles that are happening, the lives that are being changed, go to our website. You can go to hooptv.org/donate. And become a partner with us. But most of all, your prayers, because this is a miracle work, isn't it?
Amen.
But you know what we've discovered even in this series? What's the verse that we sang?
All
things work together for good to those who love God. And so I want to invite you to sing it with us and believe it and say, God, continue to work in miraculous ways through Hope Sabbath School. Let's sing it together.
Against us, who can be against?
Precious promise. You know, I just was thinking while we were singing, what if our Bible was taken away from us? It happens sometimes, even in recent times. People thrown into prison, the Bible taken away. The Holy Spirit could bring that song to our remembrance. You know, all things can work for good. Think of what God did for Paul, who wrote this, and Silas in the prison when a whole family came to Christ as a result of their singing and praying.
Amen.
God can work all things for good. And when God is for us,
who can be against us?
That's what we want to pray as we study today about Adam and Jesus. Adam was great, but he stumbled and fell, and he passed on to us that fallen nature, didn't he?
Yes.
We didn't choose to receive that, but neither did we deserve the Savior who came. Amen. We want to talk about how we can choose to identify with Jesus. Amen. As well as with our first parent, Adam. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you, Jesus, that your story is told here, that we have a witness of how much you love us, revealing the Father's love. And I pray as we consider the message of salvation, by your grace received through faith, we wouldn't just know it in our heads, but in our hearts, that we would know the joy of your salvation personally and be able to share that good news with others. Bless in the study of your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're focusing on Romans chapter 5 today in our study. We're working through the entire letter. And at first you say, how could we spend 13 studies just on one small letter? But actually when you start studying, you say, how are we going to get through? We're moving on here to study number 6, and we're only in Romans chapter 5, but we'll see how God teaches us. And Juliana, would you begin our study today with a wonderful passage in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. There's a word in Christian faith we speak about justification, being set right with God. Let's see what Paul says about that beautiful declaration based on the grace of God.
Sure. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Amen. Amen. I want you to notice what Juliana read at the beginning. Having been justified. Finished? Accomplished? Is the whole world set right with God, or is provision for the whole world there to be set right with God? Stephanie, what do you think?
It's provision.
So when he's writing here in Romans, he's writing to the saints.
Yes.
These are the ones who've said, Jesus, write my name in your book, right?
Right.
Remember we studied about the Lamb's Book of Life? Mm-hmm. Jesus, save me.
Amen.
And he says, to those who've accepted, you have been
justified.
You've been set right with God. So I agree with Stephanie. You're saying the provision is there for
everybody.
God so loved
the world
that whosoever, right, the provision,
right.
But they're not set right with God until they accept, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to us? What did you notice, Daisy? Did you notice any words there that jumped out at you? Once we've been set right with God through faith in Jesus, what are some things we experience?
We have joy.
Okay.
We have joy.
We've got joy. What else do we have?
Peace with God.
Hope. And hope.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? Maybe there's a relationship between those. Because what does it say happens to us in verse 5?
We have the Holy Spirit.
Say it loud, Daisy.
It says God fills us with the Holy Spirit.
That's right. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the Holy Spirit works on how many people on planet Earth?
Everyone.
But the Holy Spirit doesn't fill everyone.
No. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
That's again the gift, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So we have to be willing to accept the gift mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit filling us. Now, when did this plan set into motion, Kyle? Would you keep reading? We're reading in chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, as we're talking about being set right with God.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. So it's Amen. Before, actually it's even before we were sinners, isn't it? When was the plan set into operation?
Before sin came.
Before creation.
Before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. God had a plan that if there was sin, that there would be hope. Yeah. That he would provide a plan, a way out for us. Yeah. Let's look at the next verse in verse 9. We're working through this chapter. A lot of times people read the Bible. They read a verse here, and then they read a verse there. They have no idea what comes next, right? Lourdes, would you read verse 9 for us, and let's see what Paul's telling us here.
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him."
Mm. Now that word wrath, that the wrath, the people talk about the wrath of God. Mm. Some people have this idea that God is like, you see some of the medieval paintings, right? Like firebolts coming down, angry face. What is the wrath of God, and what is it directed towards?
Sin.
Hmm? Is God angry like angry people that we see when they're pushing people, trying to buy something that they want? What is this wrath of God, Jonathan?
I feel like it's when he comes to the point where he has to do something, like he's delayed, he's put things off. Where, you know, sometimes when there's things that happen where there has to be at some point where God can say this is a judgment. This is, but it is not his. It is not anger that just like, oh, I can't stand it anymore. It's not like. It's not anything about the way we look at our character and how we lose our cool. It is a reflection of his love. It is a reflection of his government that just has to make things clear and to establish things, but does involve judgment.
I was thinking while he was sharing that story of Jesus who came to reveal the Father's love. Right. And we see him healing the sick and casting out demons. Also, he made a whip. And drove people out of the temple and said, "How dare you make my Father's house into a den of thieves, a marketplace?" Mm-hmm. Dustin?
It makes me think of God's holiness, maybe, because when the Bible says that no man has seen his face and lived, that maybe his holiness is so separate from what we are carnally that it just consumes it just destroys mm-hmm. it. So
and yet when protection. We have a relate you're absolutely right, and yet when we have a relationship with him, when Jesus comes, some are destroyed by his glory, mm-hmm. the brightness of his coming. Yes. In fact, they even cry for rocks to fall on them, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the righteous, what do they do? They look up with joy and say, mm-hmm. remember what the prophet Isaiah said, "Lo, this is our God, we've waited for him." Mm-hmm. So it all depends on the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, Kyle.
I was trying to think of what does wrath mean, you mm-hmm. know, and I kind of see it as, I don't know if you've ever seen a situation where you've seen someone that's getting hurt, maybe a child that's getting beaten or something. You know, you've seen sin in our world, and you get angry that person is being hurt, that sin is causing that hurt to someone. And I think that's the kind of righteous anger that his wrath is. It's not against the people, it's against the sin. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's anger against the harm that's coming to people as a result of sin.
Some people do have this view of God as a very angry God, right? Mm-hmm. But you've challenged us with the thought that God's anger is against the sin that is hurting his children.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he's pleading for them to do what?
Repent.
turn away from that sin that is hurting them and through them hurting other people. Yeah. Right? God is not willing. Well, let's look at that text in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. If someone would read that. I know we may have even read that in this series, but someone may be watching today. And Puya, would you read that for us? Maybe they've never heard this before. This is not Paul, but right. The Apostle Peter writing.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen. That's a picture of God that isn't in some of the paintings, right? Right. Mm. He's waiting. He's not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's angry with what the enemy has done. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. Jonathan?
I think it's important that the verse just before it says, back to Romans 5.
Okay, give us a moment to get back to Romans 5 and verse...
Verse 8 and possibly the verse after it, if when I was looking at it. They both are talking about God's love.
Yes.
So, I mean, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if we're going to talk about God's wrath, it's not, God's love exists while we were sinners, while we were in the depth of our sins. So that's not the reason for it. I think the reason has to be more about something that happens in us, where if we are not willing to be drawn back to him, if we are turning away from God, then that's where the wrath comes, when there's nothing more that God can do for us.
The Bible does talk about a fire that will come down from God out of heaven, right?
Right.
Would it be fair to say that God does not want any of his children consumed in that fire?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. The earth will be consumed, right. Doesn't it say in that same, right after 2 Peter 3, 9 says, the day of the Lord will come, mm-hmm. and the elements will melt mm-hmm. with fervent heat. Right. So God's desire would be that this whole mess of a planet would be cleaned up. He's going to create what?
A new
heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells in that same chapter. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want any of his children consumed in that.
Amen.
But we have a choice to make, don't we? Mm-hmm. Yes, Puya.
I think, in fact, Jesus mentioned that the fire that's coming down is intended for the devil and his angels. Mm-hmm.
He speaks about that lake of fire, right, in Revelation.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. intended. Because they have resolutely resisted the grace and love of God.
Wow. Mm. Yes.
My heart went out to the special prayer request for Alphonse, who was under demonic attack. Mm-hmm. Why would evil demons attack someone? Why do they do that? You say that's their character? Stephanie, why do they do that?
Well, I think it hurts the heart of God, and Satan knows that, but it also hurts that person.
So back to what you were saying, when you see someone being hurt, you hurt.
Yeah.
You feel the pain, too.
Mm.
I'm thankful Jesus can rescue those people.
Amen.
Amen.
You know,
yes.
He came to set the captive free, didn't
yes.
he, Juliana? Yeah. All right, let's keep going. Now we're in verses 10 and 11 of Romans. Chapter 5. Nicole, if you could read those verses. It's an interesting expression in these verses. I want you to tell me what it means, okay? So be thinking. Romans 10, 5, verses 10 and 11.
The New International Version says, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation."
Enemies. Mm-hmm. Reconciled. That's past tense, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, how many are reconciled to God as a result of what Jesus has accomplished?
All. Mm. Well, it's the provision.
Help,
is there.
Help me, Nicole, please. Because some people do believe in a universal salvation, right?
No, I think as Stephanie said previously, the provision is there for us all to be saved through Christ and what right. he did for us. And it's our job to choose to accept that gift that he gives us in terms of salvation.
And so then he can write a note to you just like he did to the Roman Christians and say, You have been reconciled to God.
Sure.
And you're going to use my favorite Hebrew word, which
hallelujah.
Is? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which means what? Do you know?
Praise God.
It means praise Yahweh, praise the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. That's the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because I have been set right with God.
Amen.
That's the news. That's the good news of Romans.
I think it's also very clear from, you know, the famous verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth.
So there's there's the response. There's our, don't say, well, God does this, and, you know, I have to do that. I just have to accept.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I just have to stop fighting him and accept.
So the death of Jesus is enough for the whole world. Yeah. God saves the whole world. But whoever believes him will receive that.
Yes,
Haiti. Just adding to what Puya is saying, in verse 17, we all know John 3:16 very well, but I love verse 17.
Would you read that for us, Haiti? Let's just take a moment to find it. What translation do you have today?
I will be reading from the New International Version.
All right. You know, you're right. A lot of people read verse 16, which says God so loved the world, but verse 17 adds a beautiful insight.
It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
Amen.
And I think that's just so beautiful.
Amen.
If God is some kind of mean tyrant, he would just let us self-destruct. Mm-hmm. He didn't come to condemn us. We'd already condemned ourselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He came that the world through him might be saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Kyle, you're thinking a profound thought. I can see it on your face.
I was just thinking, you know, at those times when I was doing things that were not pleasing to Jesus, you know, it was then that he loved me.
Yes.
Even before I came to him, he had already made provision for me to be saved. Even on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The very ones that were nailing his hands to the cross, he was, you know, willing to forgive. And that's just so beautiful to think that even before we know, Jesus has already made provision for our salvation.
Yeah. That's why we have Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
We have to tell people the truth about God, our loving God.
Right.
And you know, there's so many false teachings out there, but the Spirit will bear witness to them.
Amen.
God will touch their heart in ways that I hope we have time to testify he touched our hearts. Amen. One thing they know for sure, though, Michael, if you could read Romans 5, verse 12, because even people that don't believe in God know that what verse 12 talks about is true. They just maybe don't understand. They think, well, that's just the reality, and it's always been that way. Romans 5, verse 12.
Yes, from the New King James Version. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned.
If you went out and said, "How many of you know there's death in the world?" They'd look at you like, "Where do you live? There's death all over the world." What don't many people know? What don't they know?
That it came through one.
They don't
person.
Know. They don't know the story. They don't know how to explain it, right? Now, as you get the extreme people that say there's nothing bad, there's nothing good, but even within the most secular person, when they see evil, they say that's not right, right? Something cries out in our very beings, right? But they don't know the story. They don't understand how sin came into the world. Now, it came through our first parents, right?
Yes.
Read that in Genesis 3. We won't read the story, but it came. That's not fair. I didn't choose to rebel against God in the garden. That's not fair that it would come down to me. How would you respond to that? Is it fair, Daisy?
It's not fair, but
it isn't.
In the same way, God sent his one and only Son to sacrifice his life to pay for that debt of sin, that all of us have a chance to come to repentance. So we don't deserve to be in this situation, but a way has been made that even though we don't deserve to get it better, we still have an opportunity to be made right with God through Jesus Christ.
But we're in a bad situation where death is all around us, right?
Yeah.
And I want to give you an opportunity to share how that has impacted you personally, but how what Daisy just talked about, and that is the hope that is ours in Jesus, can help us to make it past the tragedy of death. Haiti.
I was just going to say, but we have to be very careful because to not think that we're so righteous, because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So even though sin entered the human race through one man, sin enters me because I have sinned, because I have chosen it, each of us. And we need to mm-hmm. remember that when I am guilty of it,
I'm responsible. I can't say, well, my daddy was mean and I'm mean too. No, I'm personally responsible. But there is this
tendency,
this fallen human nature. Mm-hmm. Some of you have a beautiful little one, right? She's a little girl.
Yes.
And you're not going to have to teach her to push back.
Oh, no.
I don't know if she's there yet. And I hope she's not watching the program. But you know, I have two sons, wonderful boys. But, you know, they you don't have to teach them when you say, Daddy says don't touch that, and they go.
Mm-hmm. They'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. There is this tendency, this nature. Fallen nature, mm-hmm. that unless we get help, mm-hmm. we're going to go even a path that seems right to us, but it ends in destruction, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we are responsible. Mm-hmm. You're right, Haiti. We do make choices, mm-hmm. and we can't blame that on Adam. Mm-hmm. We have fallen too, haven't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Puya?
In thinking through this question, you know, is it fair or is it not? You know, the one thing that always comes to my mind is, what right do I even have to exist?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm. See, the fact that I'm here, the fact that I'm a living person, a living organism, that fact alone, you know, I don't have any right to be here.
Of course.
So when talking about fair or not fair, I think it's important to realize that God created us out of nothing. And even though sin entered through one man, even though I'm in this fallen human nature, God created me.
And many
that he
people
provides
who
the
don't
way out.
Know that mm-hmm. and just believe we're here, we've just evolved, and it's the survival of the fittest. That's why suicide and depression mm-hmm. are like epidemics,
mm-hmm.
because there appears to be no way out.
Right.
So I want to give you an opportunity to share. No one is here by accident today, okay?
That's right.
Nope.
I want to give you an opportunity to share a difficult death experience. And how God somehow, Satan says, give up, die, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But God says, no, there's hope. I want to give you hope in the midst of this difficult experience. And we're sharing this because someone's going to be listening and say, wow, could God do that for me? What's the answer?
Yes.
We want to tell you the truth. Juliana?
So I personally have never dealt with suicidal thoughts or anything. I know people who have, but I think the difficult situation when I think of the tragedy of death as a result of sin happened actually just recently. Within the past year, we had a colleague of mine who was a couple of years younger than me, who was one of the best theologians I had ever met, and such a strong Christian, someone who always taught in Sabbath school, and was someone that I enjoyed speaking to because he had a depth of knowledge and a relationship with Christ unlike anything I had ever seen. Mm. And he fell asleep and never woke up at 24. Mm. And it shocked our church community because it was not anything we would have expected. Mm-hmm. He had a history of medical issues, sure, but not so suddenly. And people were angry. I was angry. You know, why God? Why him? Out of all of the people, like, he was supposed to be the one with a big future and, like, be the theologian of the church. And, like, why him? And it caused all of us to struggle, along with his parents, to ask God, like, why? Why can't? And we don't really always get answers, right? And usually the answer is just, trust me. And that's hard.
Yeah.
But it really led us to a deeper understanding of, you know, sometimes this life is short.
Yeah.
And sin is awful. Mm. Takes away really wonderful people.
Yeah.
But we have a hope.
And he had that hope.
And he had that hope. When we went to the gravesite and I was asked to lead out in the hymns,
you had to sing.
I had to sing.
With tears.
While they were burying him. Mm. And the hope and sadness at the same time was very hard. But it was an encouragement to know that Christ brings us that hope, and that's not the last time that we will have seen him.
That's right. Yes. Mm. You know, John the Baptist was just in his early 30s. Mm-hmm. And yet, Jesus basically said he lived well. Mm. It was short. But there was no greater born of women than John the Baptist. Amen. You know, he was the voice crying in the wilderness. Maybe your friend was too. And in terms of eternity, he lived well this short stretch, but it's not the end, right? Mm-hmm. But it touches us all, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone else have a hand? Yes, Daisy.
Well, this has been difficult. I never really talked much about it, but this has to do with my dad. And my dad has been a minister. He's dedicated his whole life to ministry. And he wasn't an Adventist to begin with. He's had a difficult life because he was an orphan and went through so many struggles. But when he found the truth about Christ, he dedicated his whole life to serving him. And he wanted to continue his education just so he can go and just spread the gospel. So while he was doing his Master of Divinity, after he was done, did everything, graduated, he got hit with depression. And that was it. The last 10 years of his life was just miserable. Mm-hmm. And just watching him going through, if you've ever seen anybody in depression, mm-hmm. it's a horrible thing. They have suicidal thoughts. It's like they don't have a control of their thinking anymore. And it was very hard to watch. And sometimes I'm like, God, why? This is somebody who wants to work for you. Why are you allowing him to go through all of this? But through it all, despite his ups and downs, he always had fears and concerns and all that. Despite all of that, he still had faith because he had studied his whole life. He still believed. Even though sometimes he worried and said, yeah, but I still believe that God is going to save me, that God is going to save me. Mm-hmm. So when he finally passed away, and even that came as a shock because we weren't expecting him to die, but just one morning we woke up and found him, you know, unresponsive. And it was hard for me because I kept questioning, like, God, why? Why do you allow him to suffer all these years and then just take him away? But the hope I have, knowing the scriptures, I know, and through all the counseling and everything, God preserves his saints, you know. Mm-hmm. He knew his heart was right. To me, that's what I understand, that he knew his heart was right, and he's preserving him until that day when he just comes and takes all his saints. So it's comforting, maybe to somebody out there. Maybe that's God's way of preserving his saints, that he knows this one is definitely mine, so.
Blessed are those who die in the
who
Lord.
Who die in the Lord,
they
yes.
rest Amen. From their labors. Yeah. Mm. And you know, Jesus saves broken people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the only kind there are on the planet. Mm. Nicole, some people maybe have the idea that if you're a follower of Jesus, you don't struggle with some of these issues.
No, it's not true. It's not true at all, actually. I think that sometimes you might struggle more because you see yourself and what you really are and how filthy you are. And so it just makes you cling more. And I think that you struggle more and you cling more and you struggle more and you cling more. And it's just a way to get closer to Christ. Because I'll never forget when my mom passed. She was tragic. I was 23. And I sat in the church and I realized on that day that if I'm not right, I'll never see her again. Mm-hmm. And it made me have to wake up and say, you got to get right, because I was going on a path where I have no business going, because I knew what was right. And I literally sat there and was like, get a grip, Nicole, get a grip and know who your Savior is, because if you don't get a grip, you'll never see your mom again. And it just, death is, it's horrible. It's horrible. And the struggles are horrible, but they're real. They're real struggles.
They happen to Christian people too.
They're real struggles.
And the challenges happen to Christian people too. But there's a difference in the way that we relate to the challenge. Lourdes.
When I was about 6 years old, my mom passed away. And a six-year-old, you can't really understand what was going on. I remember just walking into my living room, and my auntie just came and hugged me. And And then when I walked outside, just people were crying, my sisters were crying, and I didn't understand what was going on. I saw the funeral happen, and the viewing, and then the funeral came, and I was still shocked, like, I didn't know what was going on, because I saw my mom in the casket.
And you were only 6 years old.
And I thought she was sleeping. I was like, so I didn't really quite understand, and I was just seeing everybody cry, and I was just very confused, trying to understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do remember is that when we went to the funeral, and they were pushing the coffin, and the pastor spoke, and the pastor spoke with such a peace, because at that time everybody was crying, everybody, and I got afraid, and I started crying also. But when he spoke with such a peace that we will see her again, I didn't understand much, but I understood, oh, one day I will see her again. Mm-hmm. And one of her favorite songs later, I find out it was Far Beyond the Sun, and we sung that, and then I remember telling myself, it was like, one day I will see her, and that having the hope, it made a difference. Didn't understand quite what was going on, but just knowing that she had faith in God gave me, at that moment, a little bit picture that one day, the hope that we'll see her again.
Yes.
Grace. Yeah.
And she will discover that you were on Hope Sabbath School. What will she say?
Well, I find out that she was praying for me, because at that time I wasn't, of course, baptized or anything. Like all my brothers, I was the last one. So, yeah.
Her prayers were heard.
Amen.
Amen. The life is a challenge. Mm-hmm. But God wants to work. What do we sing? He wants to work what?
All things
for good to those who are willing to open their hearts to His love. Amen. He's going to work in a powerful way. We're going to keep reading Romans, Stephanie, chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. Now, some of you may be going, Derek, this is the heavy. I mean, like, we're like, but this is life. Yeah. This is the planet. Yeah. But we are not without hope.
Amen.
That's the difference. Amen. There's somewhere that the Apostle Paul says, we do not grieve as those who have no hope.
Yes. Amen.
Does that say we don't grieve?
No.
No, we grieve. But we grieve differently. Yes. Right? Yes. Because we have hope. Amen. Let's keep reading. This is the message that he's bringing. Amen. Romans chapter 5, 13 and 14.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
So even though we don't know about the law of God, we don't know which things are right and wrong, and so it's not, how does the Bible put that, that God winked at our transgression, you know?
Yeah,
we're still dying.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, I don't know about sin and death, so I'm not going to die. No, we still die. We just may not know why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's only when I come to Scripture, to revelation that comes through the prophets to the human family, that I can understand about the war in heaven. Revelation 12 talks about the devil, or once called Lucifer, cast out of heaven. The battle comes to planet Earth. Read Genesis, Adam, Eve, the serpent, who's not a snake, but Satan, the old serpent, using a reptile to tempt rebellion against God, and how that's affected all of us. But we got to get to some good news.
Amen. Amen.
Michael, could you read for us in Romans 5, verses 15 through 19?
Sure. And then from the New King James Version, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous.
Now he takes a lot of words to say something real simple.
Yeah.
So say it simply for me, someone. Yes, Puya.
I see here Paul contrasts Adam and Jesus.
Right.
Showing how Jesus came to undo what Adam brought into this world. Mm-hmm. Meaning because of what Adam did, the one man that he talks about, because of what Adam did.
What was the gift we received through Adam?
Death.
Mm-hmm. I mean, death came, reigned, right?
Right.
And by the way, did you hear the word gift, gift,
yes.
gift, gift,
right.
gift?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Free gift. Is there any other kind of gift? Huh? No, there isn't. But finish then. So through Adam we get sin and death. Through Jesus.
On the other hand, Jesus, we receive the eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
As a gift.
That's a gift.
Is there any other text that would come to your mind that would reinforce the idea of a gift? That it's not... By the way, you don't earn a gift, right?
No.
You earn wages, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
You don't earn a gift. Mm. A gift is
given
to the undeserving. Are there any other Bible texts that come to your mind, Puya, that reinforce? Because if we want anything to come through our study today, it's sin brings death, and it's affected us all. But God has a plan, right? And it's a gift for us. What text comes to your mind?
Romans 6:23.
Okay, let's take a look there. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. That's the same letter.
Yes.
Just a little farther down the letter, okay?
I'm reading from the New King James Version. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. All right. Back to whether we die just because of Adam or not, we earned our own wages, right?
Yes.
We chose to sin. And the wages of sin is? But the gift of God is eternal life. Another text that comes to your mind. Anybody? It may be one that you just remember and say, this one's precious to me. Anybody think of another one that it's a gift and not something? I like Ephesians 2. That doesn't use the word gift, but it emphasizes that it's not something that we earn. It's not our wages. Mm-hmm. Someone have Ephesians, Stephanie? Chapter 2, verse 8.
Yes, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Oh, it does have gift. Good. I guess I should have expected it because it's the same author, right? Mm. And later he goes on and says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So when we get to heaven, we won't be boasting at how great we were to get there.
Amen.
Well, if we boast in anything, we boast in God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We glory in what God has done. But we have to accept the gift. So after Kyle's comment, I want you to think, when did I accept that gift? And what difference did it make in my life? Okay? You're here today to give that testimony. When did I accept that gift? Should we know that we have accepted that gift? Should we know that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, for some, it may be a startling event. I was in prison, and, you know. For another person, it may be, well, I just grew up in a Christian home, and I just kind of turned toward Jesus. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, but I ought to know that I've accepted the gift.
Yes.
All right, Kyle?
I just wanted to share a verse that came to my mind.
Okay.
Precious Promise.
Yes.
In light of some of these stories that our friends have been sharing about people that have passed away.
Yes.
But the gift of eternal life that Jesus gives us. And John 11, 25 and 26.
Okay. Give us a moment to find John 11. That's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. John 11. You want to read verses 25 and 26, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Amen.
I just love the promise that when we believe in Jesus, we can have eternal life. It's the best gift any of us could ask for.
So Daisy, talking about your dad, he went to sleep, but it's not the end.
Amen.
Because Jesus, his Savior, is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Someone want to share a time that you think, okay, we ought to know that we've accepted the gift. Gift, 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 right? How many times was gift mentioned? And what a difference it made to you. Someone want to share? Dustin, do you remember when you accepted the gift of saying, maybe you grew up, did you grow up with people knowing in a Christian home?
Yep, yeah.
But we all have to make a choice, right?
I think so.
Can you think of a time that you said, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior, I want to accept the gift?
I don't know if I can pinpoint an exact time, but I think, like most people have shared in the past, it's sometime around college, I think, when you're becoming an adult. When you go from seeing Christianity as a child, you see rules and you don't quite understand why you're doing what you're doing, but then you realize that it's not about that, you know, it's about the faith and the relationship and then walking that out through the expression. And I think it was sometime in college when, you know, you're introduced to a lot of different viewpoints on life.
And you went to a secular university,
I went to
right?
a very secular, yeah. Yep. And I had friends of all different faiths and many with no faith, you know. And I just want to point out that I think there's a big contrast between what we're talking about today in the wages of sin and the gift, because those who don't have faith, and even those today who are Christians but don't believe in creation like we do, they think that, you know, that death is required for life through evolution, you know, and those kind of things. And really thinking about those things hard, you know, makes you realize that that this is a much different, this goes very contrast, very, very contrary to how the rest of the world thinks. And there's a hopelessness there that, you know, death is our lot, you know. But
it's just the reality. There's no escaping it. When right. you're saying the Christian message is that death is defeated.
Yeah.
Is defeated. Yeah. We may sleep until the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting? Dustin was going to a secular university mm-hmm. surrounded by all kinds of erroneous ideas, and yet it was during that time. Was there an individual or a group of people that helped you? Or
you know, there were, definitely, because you know, I had people who were close to me who were giving me all kinds of, like you say, different messages, but it wasn't an Adventist group. It was just other Christians around me who were
Christian
very
fellowship.
Yeah, they were really, you know, sincere believers, and they encourage you. And I feel like I know that God definitely led me to those people. You know, even though my doctrinal beliefs are pretty different, you know, I know that they were definitely sent to minister to me.
And you know, we may have some differences. We may understand yeah. some teachings of Scripture differently. You know, that reminds me of what we sang in our theme song, that God, even in difficult situations, He can work all things for good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Time for one more testimony. We're talking about when you made a decision, Daisy. You've talked about the difficult experience with your dad, but you had to make a decision about whether to accept the gift. How did that happen for you, and how did that change your life?
I think it was around that time when my dad was having his, you know, health issues. And there were so many things that were going on in my life at that time. I was after I had just graduated from college, trying to figure out what life, you know, my career, work, and everything. And relationships were falling apart, and I had questions. I had seen things, you know, going sour, and I'm like, what is life about? I had questions about this life, you know, what is it about? So you get your degree, you know, if you want to get married and all that stuff, then what next? And so I saw people going through difficulties, death, sickness, and I had questions. And people asked me questions too, like, okay, so you're a Christian. I was actually born in a church, for those who don't know. Grew up in a church, my dad was a minister and everything, but I had not made that personal decision. I knew what happened, I knew the truth, but I hadn't made that personal decision or had that personal relationship with God. And so during those times when things were going rough for me, I had to figure things out, you know, ask God, okay, why this, why is that? So I went back to the Scriptures. And of course, it happened when one of my friends asked me questions, why do you believe what you believe? And I didn't have answers to that. Then I remember the Scripture that says, be prepared mm-hmm. to give an answer to why you believe what you believe. So that drove me to the Scripture. I'm like, okay, I need to understand why I worship on Saturdays. I need to understand why I keep the commandments. I need to understand why
there's so much, you know, sorrow in this world. And God orchestrated things to work out perfectly. At that time, too, GYC came to Baltimore.
So I this attended, is like a youth
right.
Convention.
Convention. And when I went then, I saw all these young people who were so dedicated to God's work. I was like, wow, you know, I need to also get on board and get to know God personally so that I can also defend my beliefs and be able to say why I am a follower of him.
And that was a turning point?
That was a turning point.
I see a common thread there that fellow Christians encourage you on your walk.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a few seconds left. Someone want to share a closing thought? Yep, well, I'm going to share it too then. I want to say that I personally accepted Jesus when I was just finished with high school, working at a British bank, and I could not depend upon the faith of my parents, but I had to make a personal decision. And I will be eternally grateful Amen. That I made that choice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because something happens when you say yes to Jesus.
Amen.
Your heart changes.
Yes.
Things that used to control you no longer have dominion over
Amen.
You. And I just want to appeal to you. If you've made that choice, just thank him again today. Say, thank you, Jesus. Yes. But if you haven't, accept the gift. And it's not just the gift of salvation, but a new life in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's pray for that right now. Father in heaven, our hearts have been touched in this study. And that's what Paul prayed for, that somehow this letter would bring people to salvation. And if you are thinking today, I need to accept the gift, I need to say, Jesus, be my Savior, I invite you to do it just now.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I thank you that you will be faithful to all of your promises, not only to save us from death, but to give us a new life. And we will praise you and thank you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you made that decision today, I want to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We'll share it with the team, and we'll all use my favorite Hebrew word, which is
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we will rejoice together, not just now, but throughout eternity with Jesus, our Savior.